Blog Talk Radio.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we die to ourselves and live through your death, and we shall be born again to be blessed.
Good Shabbat, full Shabbat, Yisrael family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yarao of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll suggest that everyone that's listening tonight, that you grab your study tools, your iPads, your notepads, your pens, your pencils, your highlighters, your Bibles, accordance, all those things that you would need for good study. As always, we start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Merciful Father, we thank thee for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor through thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer, our soon coming King. We thank thee for protecting us throughout the course of the week and allowing us to keep our eyes focused on thy Son as he leads and guides us through the wilderness to the place of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to continue to wear the full armor to protect ourselves from the dangers of Hasatan. We thank thee, Father, for allowing us to partake of the fruit of thy Spirit so that we can have the character of thy Son, Yahushua, so that as we speak throughout the course of the week, opportunity for those whom we come in contact with, a glimpse of your light that you share with us. We thank you, Father, for this Sabbath day, the day in which you have given us a day of rest, a day in which you say that you would sup with us. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for the protection that you've given us throughout the course of the week from hurt, harm, and danger, both seen and unseen. And we ask of thee, O Father, on this Sabbath day that you open our minds to receive the wonders of your word, the truth of thy Son. Thank you, Father, once again for supping with us on this Sabbath day. And thank you for allowing your Son to shepherd us and keep us in your ways. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. As stated before, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara Al. In this particular session, it's just a follow-up from last week's session. And last week's title or last week's session was entitled Advanced Training is in Session. And this training is going to be on first love. And the Father led me this way in regards to the first love, because of a couple of passages that were read last week, or a couple of statements that were read last week, for the last time we met with each other. And one of them was unconditional love. And because we was talking about shame and guilt the last time we was together, the term or unconditional love was how we combat that guilt and that shame that we once had. Because if we show love, that unconditional love for the Father, what will we do? We will demonstrate that to those in whom we come in contact with. And as the scriptures say, charity starts at home. So you're starting at home with that unconditional love. And I'm going to read that definition that was given last week. Unconditional love is the opposite of shame. Shame seeks to condemn us. Love seeks to kindly convict us and help us change. Shame reminds us of our past faults and limitations. Love sees our potential and good. So in looking at that unconditional love, see, when we're dealing with this unconditional love, when we first came to the Most High opened our eyes and let us know who his Son is. We had a love for him. We were striving to seek out his love. We were striving to be in his company. And in the beginning stages for me, I had the pleasures to sit under Gershom Ben Daniel. And Gershom Ben Daniel, or Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel, I mean, he took me in as a son. And he showed me different things throughout the Word. As I traveled through the Word to talk about the Word with other people. And when I was talking to other people about this Word, it was a number of things that I didn't know. And I used to seek out my other brothers in the faith, but ultimately I used to seek Rabbi and ask him, what should I say? What should I do? And he was a father to me. He was a father teaching a son. And as I got older and sharing the Word with other people, I take on that same character. And it's interesting because I'm an individual. I have no children. So in going through this lesson and the scriptures that the Father led me to, it showed me that I am too a father at times when ministering the word to other people and the care that I share the word with them. And at the same time, when our beloved rabbi left the scene, he passed that spirit passed on to another person amongst our group. And he too is a father in administering the word to ministering the word of the Most High to the people that he has put in his flock. Well, in essence, the flock that he has taken over is the flock that's always been, which is Israel. And as we read throughout the scriptures, we see the many different men that the Father has put over his flock, you know, that his Son nurtured and guided, that his Son assists in guiding that flock. And so, in understanding this, the Father, you know, took me to, you know, some scriptures that were read last week, I believe. And the first scripture we're going to go to is Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. And I'm going to read that to you. And it says, and it reads, is that right? No. 19:14. And it says, and this particular scripture is talking about when some little children came to the Messiah and the apostles, the students, the disciples that was with them was trying to tell him to not say anything to him. And it says, allow the children to come to me, Yahushua said. Do not forbid them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to people like these children. And when that scripture came to my, the Father brought that scripture back to my mind, is letting me know that we as believers, we as servants, must go back to that level of innocence that we had for him in the beginning of our journey. Because in the beginning of this journey with Yahushua, we had a love that was so innocent. We had a love that whatever the prophet taught or whatever the teacher told us, we sought it out. We believed it. And then in our camp, our rabbi told us to follow behind him. He told us to go back and check it out. He always used to tell us, don't take my word for it. And that's one of the things that you will hear myself and a number of the other Morays will say to you. Go check it out. Don't take my word for it. See, because I'm just a mere man. But that spirit is eternal. And that spirit, the Father shares with whom he chooses to share it with. So going back to that level of innocence, and the Father took me to this scripture. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. And it reads, although you should have been teachers by now, you need someone to teach you an introduction to the basics of Yah's message. You have come to a place where you need milk instead of solid food. And the Father took me here because I'll just use myself as an example. As you walk and walk and walk in the ways of the Most High, sometimes in my mind I believe that I know. But there's one thing that our beloved Rabbi used to say, I'm just scratching the surface. And that's what he used to tell us about himself. He was just scratching the surface and the information that he was passing on to us. So I must remember that as I journey. You must remember that as you journey with Yah through his son Yahushua, through the word, that you're still just scratching the surface. And what you're learning is still just basic. But you can't get so overwhelmed in what you believe that you know. You have to go back to that first love, that level of innocence, and understand that you too are still learning and that you're not above correction. Because that's one of the things that the word is used for. It's for correction. So as we go, you know, so that is the foundation for the thought that the Father initially put on me, is that first love, going back, studying, talking, and not necessarily just talking with people, but talking with your Father that he has put over you. We're talking to that shepherd and allowing him to do that role, that Father, to those that sit under him. See, because one of the things we must understand, you know, this is one thing that our beloved rabbi taught us, is that, you know, we was talking about love, and he said, he took us there, he said, the first time love is mentioned in the scriptures, he said, and Isaac, and Abraham loved Isaac. And when we look at that, that is a love between a father and a son. And then he said the second time, and it says, and Isaac loved Rebekah. That's between a husband and a wife. But it's a son who learned how to love his wife because of the love that he learned from his father, which ultimately points to our Heavenly Father and the love that he had with his son, Yahushua. And what we're doing, we're demonstrating that here on earth. See, we as individuals, the closer we get to Yahushua, the better off we are in our other relationships within our life. So from here, we're going to go to some scriptures. And like I said, the lesson, the title is Advanced Training is in Session, First Love. And the reason why I said advanced training, because I may have explained it last week, the last time we were getting together, but I might explain it again. See, in advanced training, you utilize the stuff in basic training, but advanced training is you're honing your skills in the particular job or the particular responsibility that the Father is going to give you. It's more mental. See, we have to mentally get in tune with the word, mentally get in tune on what we must do, at the same time remembering the basics. And when we talk about love, as we know, love is an action. And you have to do something. You can't just say, I love you. You have to demonstrate love. And love is not one of those basic things. You have to learn how to do this. And you learn it through trial and error. And the way you learn it, as the scriptures teach us, the fruit of the Spirit. And if you look at that particular scripture in regards to the fruit of the Spirit, and it starts off the scripture with love. and end with self-control. But as you learn love, you have to first have self-control. So you have to start from the last one and work your way up in order to demonstrate love. So now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 2-7. And because at first I was just going to just read the focal point, but then I read up and read down, you know, as our beloved rabbi used to teach us, you know, read a few scriptures up, read a few scriptures down, and then you know, because sometimes you want people to get the whole thought of that particular scripture and then explain to them why you chose this particular scripture. And I've already explained why I chose this particular scripture. And the scripture that I'm talking about is Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know your works and your toil and perseverance, and that you can't tolerate evil men, and have tested those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and found them false. You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I am coming to you swiftly, and will move your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. But this is to you, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in paradise of my mighty one. So in reading this particular section, I believe is to the church in Ephesus, I believe. And we're going to read some more scriptures in regards to the church in Ephesus. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And it reads, her ways are ways of pleasantness, all her paths of peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Happy is everyone who retains her. Proverbs chapter 11. The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. He who is wise wins souls. So for the next couple of scriptures, we're going to be talking about the tree of life. You're going to notice the tree of life. And when the Father took me through this initial group of scriptures, that's what jumped out at me, the tree of life. Because when we demonstrate that love for Yahushua, that's what we're actually going to be partaking of, the tree of life. The tree of, you know, because we're striving for eternal life. And the tree of life is where eternal life is. And that's in the garden. And that garden is a part of that kingdom that we're striving for. The Father has allowed us to see the door to his kingdom. And that tree is a part of that kingdom. From here, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when longing is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. As we strive and endure and persevere, our goal is to partake of the tree of life. because we want eternal life. We want to dwell with the Father. We want to dwell with Yahushua, who currently is sitting at his right hand. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but deceit in it crushes the spirit. See, when we talk those good words of life, those good words of the truth, those good words of the commandments, we're giving people an opportunity to partake of the tree of life. Because I believe it's a scripture that connects good with the tree of life and death, tree of good and evil. So if we partake and cleanse our ways with the Torah and cleanse our ways with the commandments and speak the words of the Torah, we're speaking the tree of life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. And it reads, "But remember the former days in which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggles with suffering, partly being exposed to both reproach and oppression, and partly becoming partakers with those who were treated so." See, in our former days, we were doing certain things, and he brought us out of them. We endured those former days and came to a time where we dwelled with him, with his son, and was given enlightenment to his truth. But we have to maintain that level of innocence of his word and constantly stay in his word and meditate on his word, but maintaining that innocence and that humbleness, because we don't want to become too big for our own britches. We don't want to be in that state, as we read earlier, needing to be taught again the basics, which is that level of innocence. See, because the Father gives us his word for us to fulfill our purpose, we have to maintain and keep our eyes focused on him. As the scripture talks about, first ye seek the kingdom of Yah and all its righteousness, and everything else will be granted to you. Paraphrasing it. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 20, 43 and 44. And it reads, "There you shall remember your ways and all your doings, in which you have polluted yourself, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. You shall know that I am Yahweh when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to the evil ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, you house of Israel, says Yahweh Elohim." See, you're going to loathe yourselves in your own sight. Why? Because that goodness was once in you, and you've seen that goodness. But you're going to realize and understand the state that you're in. See, the Father wants us to come back to him. There's another scripture we've read many times, and I believe it's in Revelations. But it says, "Come out of her, my people." See, the Father wants us to come out of this world system. But we have to want to come out of it. We have to get rid of our own isms and schisms. See, See, because our isms and schisms want to cause us to not make it into his kingdom, despite what you know. But your innocence is gone. We have to maintain that innocence. Let's maintain that innocence and continue to receive that word regardless of where we at in life, in our walk. We have to maintain that innocence and be willing to receive that word from our Father that has been given to us. Because the Father is always the head of the family. That spirit passes on to the next, to the next, to the next. The Father in heaven never loses his place. And the Father on earth never loses his place. Never. He never loses his authority. Never. Despite what the world might say, despite what we might think, the Father never loses his place in a family structure. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 to 13. And this is Paul writing. And as we know, Ephesians is one of the churches that Paul was ministering over. And it reads, "Blessed be Yah and Father of our Messiah, Yahushua, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Yahushua, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blemish before him in love, having predestined us children through Messiah, Yahushua, to himself, according to the good pleasures of his desire." I'm going to stop here for a minute. I'm going to go to that term, you know, go to the statement. Having predestined us for adoption as children through the Messiah, Yahushua, to himself. See, when he's talking about this adoption, he's talking about when Adam, the father of humanity, see, at that time, before the fall, Adam was a part of Yah's family. But when he fell, he became, or his children were part of the system, or Hasatan's system. And so he predestined to adopt us out of that system. That's what he's telling us right here. I plan to adopt you. And if anybody's familiar with the adoption process, you know, people go and they see, they actually meet these children. So he had an encounter with us. They meet these children, and then they decide that they want to adopt and take them into their family. See, that's what he's telling us. I'm going to adopt you into my family. See, recently we've been being taught that there's two families in the world today. You have the family of Yah, and you have the family of Hasatan. So he's letting us know, I adopted you out of the family of Hasatan. I adopted you out of the system, out of this world system. Verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he freely bestowed favor on us in the beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, to an administration of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in Yahushua, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him, and whom also we were assigned an inheritance, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will, and to end that we should be to the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Yahushua, and whom you also have heard the word of the truth, the good news of your salvation, and whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And this is what the Father has done for us. This is what he has done for us. Why? Because we have a love for Yahushua. We have a love for his word. We have to go back to that innocence. And when we go back to that innocence, we understand these things a little more. Because he chose us. Because he chose us. We haven't done, I know I haven't done anything out of the ordinary. I haven't done no anomaly. I haven't done anything. But he has chosen me to walk in the ways of his truth, to cleave to his son, Yahushua, to grab a hold of the words of Yahweh Elohim. He chose me to do that. He adopted me into his family. He adopted all of us who are in the listening of my voice into his family. We're going to go to Acts 19, 1 through 10. Acts chapter 19, 1 through 10. And it reads, and I'm reading from the Good Words translation, because when I was reading this translation, it had a really nice, you know, the words really rolled really nicely. And it reads, while Apollos was in Corinth, Saul traveled through the interior provinces to get to the city of Ephesus. He met some disciples in Ephesus and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They answered him, no. We've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Paul asked them, what kind of baptism did you have? They answered, John's baptism. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. I'm going to stop here for a minute. Have you, as an individual, I think last week we was talking about that, you know, dealing with repentance and repenting for past actions, past things that causes guilt and shame. See, when we got baptized, you know, I think we've talked about this the last session. See, the Father wiped the slate clean. But we have to also wipe the slate clean. Because that's one of the things that the Hasatan or the adversary uses to cause us to have doubt that the Father of the heavens and the Father of Yahushua even loves us. He brings those things up to try to get us to believe that he doesn't love us. So I'm going to reiterate that in regards to repentance. Repent for your past things that you've done. Don't hold that thing against yourself. When you look in the mirror and you see this past thing constantly causing you to fall short. Why? Because you are refusing to let it go. The Father loves you unconditionally. He let it go. You let it go. Verse 4 was the baptism of repentance. John told the people to believe in Yahushua, who was coming later. After they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Yahushua. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came to them, and they began to talk in other languages and to speak what Yah had revealed. About 12 men were in the group. For 3 months, Paul would go into the synagogues and speak boldly. He had discussions with people to convince them about the kingdom of Yah. But when some people became stubborn, refused to believe, and had nothing good to say in front of the crowds about the way of Yahushua, he left them. He took his disciples and held daily discussions in lecture halls, in the lecture halls of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of Yahushua. So one of the things we have to realize, that we have to stand and we have to discuss this word, like we've been recently talking about, the kingdom of Yah is at hand. So we're right there in the scriptures, believe it or not. See, this is one of the things that our Father is currently telling us now. The kingdom of Yah is at hand. And he's telling us that we have to teach. But we first have to teach within our homes and make sure that everybody in our home is straight. See, because as we read in this, and I think it was 9, I'm going to read again, but when some people became stubborn and refused to believe and had nothing good to say in front of the crowds about the ways of, about the way, and then it has in parentheses or brackets of Yahushua. See, when you start talking about Yahushua and what Yahushua stood for and what he wanted for humanity, you're going to have people that's going to be stubborn and refuse to believe and refuse to do. Why? Because they have been walking in this way so long that they believe that they don't need to learn anymore. They believe they got it. Like we said earlier, how our rabbi said, I'm just scratching the surface. But these people think that they didn't dug below the first layer. They deep in that word. But we have to go back to that innocence where we still always constantly scratching the surface. And we have to discuss that word. Discuss that word. Not argue about that word, but discuss it. But when you get across people that are stubborn and don't want to hear, just like Paul did, he wrote out, there's no reason for me to continue to talk with you because you're not receiving it. It's not meant for you to receive. But, you know, when we talk to people and they may not receive it right then and there, if they are one of the fathers, he will bring someone else their way. Because as we've been taught by our Father, that some are meant to water, some are meant to plant. But it's Yah who gives the increase. You know, we don't plant the seed, water the seed, and give the increase. No, we don't have that authority. We have the authority to do the will of the Father in an individual's life. And that will is what he wills. But just remember, family, as we go through this lesson, that innocence, that humility that we have for the word. And we're going through these different, you know, we're going through some of the, you know, I guess Paul in dealing with Ephesus. And he's teaching them that word. He's that father to them, that spirit that dwells within him to teach these new believers. See, these people, Ephesus, they're coming out of the world system and coming into the ways of the Most High, a stage that we were once in. But we don't want to go back to where we were. We want to continue to go forward. Like we read in the scripture earlier where he had take that lamp from our feet. See, because that lamp lights the path of righteousness for us. But if we don't have that lamp that Yahushua gives us, then we will not find his path. Because it's that lamp that assists us in maintaining light on that path. And also leading and guiding us to see the path. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 24. Marcus, Paul sent messengers to the city of Ephesus and called the spiritual leaders of the church to meet with him in Malchus. When they were with him, he said to them, "You know how I spent all my time with you from the first day I arrived in the province of Asia. I humbly served Yahushua, often with tears in my eyes. I served Yahushua during the difficult times I went through, when the Jews plotted against me. I didn't avoid telling you anything that would help you, and I didn't avoid teaching you publicly and from house to house. I warned Jews and Greeks to change the way they think and to act and to believe in our master Yahushua. I am determined to go to Jerusalem now. I do not know what will happen to me there. However, the Holy Spirit warns me in every city that imprisonment and suffering are waiting for me. But I do not place any value on my own life. I want to finish the race I'm running. I want to carry out the mission I received from the Master Yahushua, the mission of testifying to the good news of Yah's kindness." As we read this, this is talking about, you know, Paul, and how he went to the city of Ephesus and he called the leaders together and he talked to them. Why? What he was doing. He was letting them know the trials and tribulations that he went through and ministering the words of Yahushua to the people. And that's the same thing that we have to prepare ourselves for in understanding that we too will be protected as we go out and minister the word of Yah and informing people that the kingdom of Yah is close at hand. He's going to warn us. He's going to let us know what's going on beforehand, what to expect, so that we can gird up, strengthen our faith in him. Because we understand and know that we too must go through a level of persecution. Why? Because Yahushua said they hate me. And if we believe in him, then they're going to hate us too. And it's not the people that hate us. It's HaSatan that hates us. And he does everything in his power to discredit Yahushua and Yah's word. But we have to stand firm on that solid foundation, which is Yahushua, that cornerstone that some of our forefathers rejected. But we have accepted it, and we are building upon it. We have to maintain that level of innocence. As Yahushua constantly he said from time to time, he who has an ear, let him hear. When you're innocent, you're hearing everything. You ever paid attention to a child in the first 5 years of their life? They seem to pick up everything that is spoken. They pick it up. You be like, whoa. You know, sometimes you hear some things out of young people, you know, little children's mouths. Like, whoa, where did he get that from? He know where he got it from. But the person that probably said it didn't even think that he heard it. But they hear it. My grandmother used to say this. She said little monkeys have big ears. And when I was young, I didn't understand what she was saying. But then when I got older, I started understanding what she was saying. You know, first of all, she was telling us we shouldn't have been in the room because, you know, they was talking grown people stuff. So children shouldn't be around grown folks unless they invited. You know, so just putting that out there. You know, we have to continue to teach. And, you know, and because I'm making comments in regards to children, we have to teach our children the right thing. We have to groom them, as scripture talk about Abraham. He chose Abraham because he knew Abraham would teach his sons. And that's what we have to do. We have to teach our children. We have to teach them the ways of the Most High, constantly teach them. Teach them, teach them, teach them. And at the same time, we have to also teach them about our ups and downs when they get to a point where we feel as though that they can receive that and understand that. We have to explain to them our ups and downs that we went through and walk in this way, understanding that they too are going to go through levels of struggle. Because they're also going to be tried on what they learned or what they heard. See, and that's where we at right now when we talk about this advanced training. We're being tried on what we have learned in regards to Yah's word. Those things that we thought were so deep. Now, we have to apply these deep things that we to our life. See, because when we sit here and we listen to Paul's writings, many times they say Paul's writings are difficult to understand. But if you're walking in the ways of the Most High and you're receiving his word, you can understand what Paul is saying. Because you too have also been through those struggles that Paul is talking about. So to you, those words that he is saying are not that difficult to understand. But if you're not going through the word and not studying the word and not experiencing the word, then you too will be confused and twist these words to your own destruction. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And it reads, I thank him who enabled me, Yahushua, our master, because he counted me faithful, appointed me to serve, although I was before a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent. However, I obtained mercy because I did ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our master abounds exceedingly with faith and love, which is in Yahushua. See, Paul right here is letting us know what he came from. and he's letting them know that he did these things ignorantly and in unbelief. But the master's love for him, they're clean. And he gave him an opportunity to be a servant for him. Because many times people say, yeah, the Father knows my heart. If you're saying that the Father knows your heart, there's a possibility he don't know your heart. Yeah, he knows your heart because he knows everything. But you don't say that thinking that it's okay to continue to do wrong. When you know you're not striving to do the right thing in the first place. When you're not calling on his word. When you're not operating in his word. And the last scripture for the night, the one, verse 13 and 14. And it reads, with faith and love for Yahushua, consider what you heard. Consider what you heard me say to be the pattern of accurate teachings. With the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, protect the good news that has been entrusted to you. Father, let me to read this scripture to you, Israel, listening audience, friends and family. If you're Israel, you claim to be Israel, there's a work that you must do. And he has chosen you to do a work. So you have to go back and be innocent at doing that job, at doing what his purpose is. But you have to get rid of the clutter. We've talked about that before. Get rid of that clutter that's in your mind. Who are you listening to? If you got so much earwax in your ears, you might not hear what the Father is saying to you. You might not hear his messenger. Because we've also learned that Yahushua was a messenger for the Father, giving a message. And what was that message? That he exists. My Father exists. My Father sent me to dwell amongst you. We say we believe in Yahushua. We have to suffer unto him as little children. That's the true way of understanding what we must do. Humility. Humble ourselves so that we can receive his word. Humble yourself so that you can receive his word, so that you can hear his son. So that when you're out there ministering his word, people will see that humility. They will see that kindness. They will see that gentleness. They will see those fruit of the Spirit on you. Because these are the characters that Yah has sent down through his son that we must take on. So that people will receive kingdom of heaven. So family, understand that we're on a journey, and we're on a journey together. And as we go on this journey together, we must help one another. As I started it off, I was talking about my humble beginnings and walking in the ways of the Most High and my levels of innocence that I had, that I too must get back to. I have to get back to scratching that surface, realizing that I ain't as deep as I thought I was. I am still just scratching the surface. I must get back to that innocence again. Get back to grinding in that word, talking about that word. And I'm not saying I don't talk about the word, because I definitely talk about the word on a constant basis. But it's a difference. It's a difference. Got to get back to that innocence of that word. The purity of that word. So hopefully you got something from the message that the Father gave me for me. Because if we get back to that innocence, we'll be able to partake of the tree of life, which is in the kingdom. I'm going to end with a closing prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you, Father, kindness that you've shown upon me and the kindness that you're showing upon my friends and family and all of the world, giving us an opportunity to have a relationship with Yahushua. May we continue to cleave to that relationship with Yahushua. For he left his first abode to dwell with us. He left his first abode to teach us. He left his first abode to introduce us to you, O Yah. May we not take that for granted. But as many who won't know, as many who will continue to refuse, just as we read through the stories, when Yahushua is presented, people refuse. I am thankful, Father, that you have allowed me and the listening audience to receive and accept Yahushua as our Lord and Savior and Redeemer and soon coming King. May you continue to give us ear to hear and a mouth to speak those good words, those words of life to those who are suffering. We ask that your Father to continue to give us life, continue to give us strength, continue to give us good health. But we ask that your Father to continue to have thy spirit upon us, leading and guiding us in your truth, taking hold of Yahushua, taking hold of Yahweh Elohim. We thank you, Yah, for thy love. We thank you, Yah, for your peace and your joy. In Yahushua's holy and precious name, we give honor and praise to you, O Yah. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Ms. Rael. May you all have a peaceful slumber, and may you enjoy the Sabbath day. Shalom.
You have all.